Cade Míle Fáilte to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. It's hard to believe that today we celebrate the first anniversary of the podcast we started on St. Patrick's Day last year. So I'd like to wish you all a happy St. Patrick's Day for 2022. And this week I'm joined by Mick McQuillan to talk about our trips over to the Watford and Everton games last week. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, Mick, how are you?
Not too bad.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I'm expecting Gary to join us tonight. Tony C is suffering at the moment, I think.
Yeah, he's got that a few times, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it a couple of times, yeah. Shall we, when you go back 2 years, Mick, we had our suspicions in Barcelona when we were in that dog box, six of us, and Tony was coughing and spluttering. We thought he might have, this was when in the early stages of all COVID and all that, you know. So anyway, we're still alive. As I say, I'm expecting Gary to join us now, but I haven't heard him come in yet. So should we?
Is that the only one?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, but it was myself, yourself over in on Sunday, and it was just myself, yourself, and TC on Thursday for the Watford game. Going back to Watford, hardly seems, just seems like more than it was a week ago, but not even a week yet. Probably the good old for the change. You were a late trip over, 3:30 flight. And worked out very well.
It did indeed. There was no hassle whatsoever. We got there with plenty of time to spare.
Yeah.
Got the bit things and then headed for the game.
Yeah, I suppose we got to Witherspoon's at 5:30, thinking 20-6, thinking we probably wouldn't get anything, but it was very good. The hardest thing to get was a table, and we eventually got one and had had a bit of grub, a couple of points with Steele and the lads, and onto the game. But it's probably we saw the lineup, didn't we, when we were in Witherspoons? I think we had a look.
We did, yeah, and it looked like it was going to be a 4-3-3, but as it turned out, he basically went with a 3-5-1, yeah. 3-5-2 actually, and it suits us far better, in my opinion. I've said that many a time.
Yeah,
a few surprises was Bolly coming straight in, I suppose.
Yeah.
The inclusion, and we'll be the fair idea. I nearly would come back into it, which he did, you know.
It was, yeah, in fairness, like we were probably criticising his selection over the previous two or three games, you know, but it worked out great. I mean, Watford were probably more than accommodating with the way they were playing, but you know, I mean, we worked for the first goal, well worked goal. Bit of luck then, the second with the OG
as well, done well, you know. It was a fair bit of balance too, you know.
Sorry, Mick, was that
Johnny coming in?
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
A fair bit of balance, you know.
Yeah, but it shows too, I suppose. Like, you know, everyone's very wary of Johnny kind of get easing himself back, but circumstances have turned around that it is a necessity to put in at right wing back. But I mean, when you think of like Bolly coming in as well, you were kind of saying, you know, it'll either be sparkling success or a disaster, you know, one or both of them will get injured. But I mean, it worked out great. Bolly looked like, geez, he never left, you know. He's been playing for the last 2 years, the way he was going. I suppose getting the early goals helped us a lot, you know.
Yeah, it was an excellent move, and fair play to Wang there. He kept us cool, picked out Jimenez with a beautiful pass, and it put us one up. It definitely would have settled us down, but I just thought the whole team was with the setup with Johnny and with Bolly in there, we did look very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, from start to finish. And that was the thing that probably surprised me, because I was a bit weary after, you know, seeing Arsenal just beat them, you know, just barely overcome a couple of days earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was 4-0, and it was a 4-0 thrashing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, considering we were 3-0 up in the first 21 minutes, I mean, even the commentators watching the highlights there yesterday, and you know, they were kind of nearly disappointed with 10 minutes to go that we hadn't added to it, or saying the fans would have been disappointed. But I mean, it was such a dominating performance that, I mean, you know, we were happy enough with 3-0. Like the only thing we were going to benefit was the goal difference, because we were totally on top. Foster, I thought, was one of the, it was a low light for him, but it was one of the highlights for the crowd, was Foster.
Yeah.
Between presenting the ball to Podence for the tour goal and his overall performance, like the crowd just completely wound him up after that third goal. But I mean, Watford, like, again, as you say, you know, they gave up a good performance against Arsenal the previous Sunday, and then they go the weekend and they beat Southampton. which Southampton aren't on a great run, but I mean, you know, it's still the job for them to beat them. So, you know, that's put them right back into the picture as well. So, I mean, they're, we probably just, our style, our attacking style on the night probably did them. Maybe it surprised Hodgson in his preparation when he thought that, you know, we'd probably do our usual slow build up to the game or whatever. But certainly.
I've said it and I've said many times this season, Tony, that playing that system with the five, or sometimes it, like you have six across that middle, teams find it extremely difficult to pick us up, because when you have the likes of Johnny and you have the likes of Dens coming from deep, very hard to pick them up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're on the back foot then, and we were coming through it. The proper didn't really know where we were hit from, you know, it was going from all different directions, and it's a lovely position for the likes of Patan, because he likes to move across the front,
yeah,
you know, the and the breaks and you definitely can see him in that system. He's really come on leaps and bounds, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I do have me, I can't understand as to why he keeps trying to change the system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, we look at what they've done the last couple of games. The game against us, we absolutely destroyed them 4-0. But it was, and then you had the save with 5 minutes to go. Never having so much time to pick out that absolutely beautiful fourth goal.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know,
but it kind of, you know, as I said, the crowd have been a bit up and down. They were going to be critical with the Palace game, that, you know, the crowd were kind of sitting there waiting for the game to happen for them, and it never did, and the atmosphere wasn't great. But I mean, it was, you know, they used that phrase, the carnival atmosphere last Thursday night, you know, and it was well worth 60 minute wait for Neves's goal, the fourth goal. I mean, it just kind of put the icing on it that we just had a fantastic performance, getting us back on track. And I mean, as it turned out, when you looked at the table afterwards, you know, we're back where we were a couple of weeks ago, 2 points behind West Ham, you know, not too far behind United either. So it's kind of, it's all back there for us again, you know. And
it is for the UEFA and all that, but I firmly believe that the side was good enough for the top four, but I definitely do. And that's my biggest gripe at the minute, that, we, you know, in the three games, we actually, in my opinion, we threw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's Arsenal's now to lose, you know.
Spot,
in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, well, yeah, it's kind of opened up a bit there as well, I suppose, with City drawing the weekend. But it'll be interesting to see how everything pans out. Our last game of the season might be a little mouth-watering title game, you know. But but overall, as you say, we're very happy with the game, particularly with following three defeats. It was great to get through. But sure, we met the lads then, the Dudley lads in McGee's afterwards, and then we went into the Billy Wright disco.
We're gonna do it over that, Tony.
Oh, gee, I tell you, I couldn't understand why you three of us sitting there trying to have a pint, and then the boom boom disco music, and there's about six people in the pub besides ourselves, you know. So but I mean, as I say, it was a flying visit anyway. We were half three flight over. We were up at 5 to get the 8 o'clock flight back then. So, yeah, the usual security for anyone that's travelling over. You know, security in Birmingham Airport is still not a fun place to be. And it doesn't seem like it's going to improve for us anyway.
Any chance? There's not. Definitely not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Set it up nicely then for the away trip, or the away game then against, Everton, you know?
On the Everton, like we were over on the Liverpool flight on Sunday morning, and it was grand. Nice little atmosphere in the airport. I think everybody
nice little drama landing. That was the only problem.
It was kind of windy morning, yeah. But I suppose there were a lot of Everton and Leeds fans in the airport before, in Dublin Airport. We were sitting down having our coffee. And it was funny actually that they were kind of looking at us, the two Wolves lads sitting there amongst all the Everton and Leeds, and some of the impression you get was that we were the ones that were struggling, and they were kind of looking over us, looking down at us, as if, you know. But it was an interesting day ahead for them all. But should we got into Liverpool at 9 o'clock and had our brekkie and popped stuff into the hotel and went down to the old Ship and Mitre, your favourite, one of your favourite haunts, and just after 10 o'clock. So we were the, would you say forced in?
We were, yeah. Remind me of being up along the docks years ago, waiting for the early house to open.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we were kind of, we nearly sneaked in with the girl that was cleaning the place came out. She said, yeah. No, you can't go in yet. Yeah. Oh, and we did get in. The crowd kind of filtered in fairly quickly. And we met Chris Coxie from Daventry. So there was a gang of those lads in as well. So it was a good old atmosphere built up. And of course, again, our Dudley lads came in, you know. But yeah, and we all piled into the taxis then to get to the game. Our usual, as I was saying, it looked the ground itself, our view looked grand until everybody else came in. So there was the right hand corner of the fucking pitch, you couldn't see anything. But I suppose it's what you expect now from Goodison Park. But what do you think of the atmosphere there before the game? Everton supporters, isn't it?
Well, I just thought the Everton supporters, like, they're having a rough time at the minute, and there's no confidence in that club now whatsoever.
No.
And I think that showed early on, or a bit the atmosphere. You know, they weren't at the top of their game, definitely not, because there's too much worry going on there. And quite rightly so, they are in big trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they made the wrong appointment. I've said that. I don't rate that for Frank Lampard. I definitely don't. I just think because of who he was, you know, he's picked up two great jobs, but I don't think he's merited them. And I just don't see him being capable of getting them out of the trouble they're in, you know.
Yeah, it's a strange one because, you know, as I say, Benitez was there before that and he didn't, it was hard to know what he was doing. But like, it's I think someone was saying, what if they got 9 points over the last, 6 months or something? You know, they've dropped like a stone down the league. And it's hard to know. I mean, it's a very, I just found, I haven't been there for a few years, but I mean, the last time we were there, they were probably higher up the league than we were. But like those the songs that they play, you know, they're all right when everything is bright and jolly and all that, but jeez, I tell you, I think they have the other effect before the game. I don't see how they could G fans or a team up, you know, that what's that one, the nice old team we are or whatever it is, and you know, but it's a bit like a throwback to the 40s or 50s. But they thought at the start of the game,
I think, Tony, that it's more to do with the type of football they're trying to play. It's actually horrible. Yeah. I'd hate to be having to go to watch that every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it started off, we looked at the team that we picked, and again, I wasn't pleased because he went back to change it again.
Yeah.
To his usual three up front. And I just didn't understand. And I didn't understand why he dropped Mike Newry. Again, you know, after having such a good game in the tours, you know, he brought in what do you call it?
But the Donker was in. So.
Yeah, but he brought in the other fellow, the left side.
Marcel.
And in fairness, he had a decent game. But like, I thought in the first 10-15 minute fitness, they came out with the physicality. They really were going through us, and they were flying through our midfield. We were hanging in there at that stage. And then, you know, that tackle that was on Chang, that was, to me, that was a sending off offence.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even booked. And, you know, he struggled for about 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes to stay on it. And he got a lot of stick from the Everton supporters. But I tell you, whoever's watching VAR and VAR and that, it doesn't, as we were saying, it doesn't matter if it's the first minute or the last minute. If you go in with a challenge like that on somebody, it's a red card, no matter what time of the day it was. And as it turned out, in my opinion, it was a stroke of luck we had, because when he went off, he had to bring Pedenz on, and the system then changed to what we'd done on the last Thursday. And once the system changed, all of a sudden we really got a hold of that game. And you know, it took us a while to get on top of the first half, but we did get on top.
Yeah.
And I thought then, you know, as the second half onwards, that was probably the best performance I've seen that second half quality.
Yeah.
Of football. It was a brilliant goal, and again, I said, I go back to like leaving Tendonka out. He comes in. He won the free kick that we got the free with the goal came from. And then I think Richardson was the one that cleared it, and he picked up the clearance and
he ran after.
He led it on to by the, so the last three games he's played with us, the four games he's played with us, he's been involved in all five goals.
Yeah,
and yes. Yeah. He's benched, and I just don't see the thinking, because when he's on that pitch, it gives the other two lads, what you call it, Neves and
Moutinho,
more room to do what they want to do.
Yeah,
I think it worked out, and like definitely it was a 1-0 slaughter in the second half.
Yeah, yeah, like that. You go back to what you were saying about the tackle on Hwang. I mean, from where we were, I mean, Hwang went up in the air. I mean, it was like an old tackle you see years ago. But from where I can see, he kind of went up and twisted in the air. And I'd say whether the ankle, he must have got the ankle. And as I say, in one way, he kind of slowed the game down at an early stage. You know, when he got the fans roiled up. And I mean, it was an injury, and it was a genuine injury. And as you say, he carried on for a couple of minutes, went down again, and the fans they probably calmed things down. But definitely when he went off and Podence came on, it certainly changed the game, but in our favour. But I mean, they only really had one chance in the first half with Richarlison, and Sa managed to save it and put it out for a corner. But overall, it was kind of nearly back to the Nuno days, where you know we were said we'll kind of play a cagey in the first half and see where we are at half time. And I mean, it was obvious from early on that Everton weren't really up to much. They didn't seem to have any shape or any fluidity at all with passing or anything. They just seemed to be, you know, just there. I think themselves, their attitude seemed to be, we'd be happy to get a point here against Wolves the way they've been playing, and we won't risk anything. And I mean, then into the second half, I mean, within, 3 minutes, we got the goal. So that kind of put the initiative on them to say, well, you know, come on out, lads, and, you know, look for the equaliser, and we'd finish them off. But it didn't really happen that way, because they still kind of played it a bit cagey, and we were the ones that were kind of, you know, getting the chances and making the chances. I just think like they probably had three or four. I hesitate to call them chances, because they were offside every time. You know, if the flag had gone up, that was it. I mean, I'm watching the highlights again, even like they were. You could even see from our end a couple of them were offside. But like they make the highlights, and they show these incidents that actually don't happen, because if a fella's offside, the flag should go up. But playing it on, it's very frustrating watching, you know, you're watching the game, that these things are, that, you know, these incidents are allowed to carry on. And as you say, it's only a matter of time before somebody will get badly injured. But
you know, looking at the whole game, they actually couldn't do much, because we were retrieving the ball so easy with our setup, and then they were terrified, because the way the lads were breaking, were coming from deep at them, and they didn't know how to pick them. And you know, they do lack a bit of pace, and you know, a credit to I thought there was a massive difference in quality and class between both sides. And the people say, oh, why didn't we get another goal? But you're probing, you're trying to get it, but at the same time, you didn't have to go all out to try and kill it off. But we had a couple of very good chances to have maybe finished it out, but it just didn't happen for us. But I thought overall, definitely second half, I've never seen some of the quality of the balls that we were, Neves. You know, he was really on his bloody game, but so was, you know, Dance. There was a number of them really on top. And Johnny, you wouldn't think the chap was that to be in a way at all.
No. And kind of fingers crossed on him, because, I mean, he played a few games when he came back last year. And it just, I think it was all of a sudden, and was it the Southampton home game, I think, or it was very simple. He went down and, you know, that was it. He was gone again. So I'm hoping this time that they've, you know, they've treated him right. And he certainly, I mean, even like going back to the Watford game, he clipped the ball in for Ait Nouri for the second goal so he's even doing a lot more attacking than he was previously. So hopefully they have him right this time.
The unfortunate thing with Johnny, I was saying at the weekend, is that you know, the next thing, to, like, we need to enjoy him, because if he goes again, that's finished.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. that because it's happened twice. It could happen at any stage. And touch wood, because he's a fantastic individual.
Yeah.
And a lovely fella to watch. Yeah.
But I think they identified the problem, that it was actually, I think it was something in the surgery that they hadn't done properly the first time. And I think they rectified, they made sure that it was done properly this time. Yeah. He's great. It's great to have him. I mean, that's two games in 4 days. You know, he has the guts of a week before the game on Friday, and I'd imagine he'll be there. Hopefully Aidan O'Neill will be back in. But I suppose after the match, our friend that we met on the way out of the ground, and but he made the comment that we only had one chance, you know, when we're looking at him and he's got it. And yeah, it was your comment, Mick, that said you were shite. Yeah, but
if he's not going to come into the real world, you have to tell him. They were absolutely hammered. I'd say they're the worst team we played this year.
And for a home. You know, for them to be the home team, I think it's probably the worst home team performance in a game. The team we've played this year, now, right? Yeah, but so it's hard to see where they're going to get points from. You know, they've won the toughest run ins. You know, they've all the top five or six teams to play, and you know, there's only they've a couple of games in hand.
I won't shed any tears in the goal, because that's the worst kip of a ground. Well, it isn't Selhurst Park. I've never really liked the football they played, because it's all their, you know, negative type stuff. That's in my opinion, I'd rather see them go than the likes of the bloody Leeds.
Yeah.
At least you go to the ground, you go to their ground, you have a decent view.
Yeah.
And a good atmosphere.
Well, I say too, as people are saying with the when you look at the Everton team and the players they have and the money they've spent and the wages these guys must be on. And as a lot of teams fall into the trap of, there's probably no relegation clause in the contract that wages will reduce if they get relegated and that. So, I mean, they could be in deep trouble, because they'll probably have to gut the team, you know, sell what they can, you know, and hoping some players will go on big wages, you know.
Well, there are big problems it is, Tony, before they even go down. They're over 300 million in debt. And, you know, with your man now having been sanctioned, the Russian fella, you know, they could be in a fair bit of trouble very quickly.
Yeah.
They could be docked points very quickly.
Yeah. It's what I heard people saying was that if there are docked points, it'll be from next season. But I don't know how that would happen. I remember Portsmouth when we were, was it the fourth, second year we were in the Premier League under McCarthy? They went, and I mean, I think they were given every chance, but eventually they were locked 10 points and before the end of the season, they were gone.
You only have to look what happened last year in the Championship. Remember, was Sheffield Wednesday, there was a problem there with they reckoned that they were denied, they should have been kept up while the other team went down. It was Derby. Remember, at Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
And it was all sorts of, it went to the courts, remember? So I think they'd be a little bit clearer next time, because they could leave the league open, wide open to be sued, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you look at, the precedent's been set. I mean, you look at this year again, Derby docked points again. Reading have been docked points as well in the Championship. So I'd say there seems to be a hell of a lot of teams there that were pushing for the Premier League are broke, and they're going broke, you know? So it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, Everton are trying to look for, because of COVID, to kind of increase the write-off because of COVID. But I think the Premier League agreed on a certain figure, and that's it. I don't think they're going to change it for Everton. But I just wonder if there is a points deduction at the end of the season, because it's the Football League and not the FA, would it apply in the Championship, or would they have to wait if they came back up and the next time they're in the Premier League, the points would be docked? Because there is a difference in the FA run, the Premier League and the Football League run. So I don't know. I don't know about my butcher. As you say, it's not our problem to worry about. So but we'd we had a good old time afterwards. We went into the place you've been in before, the Taximan Club, and we met there was Connor and Colm Crowley, wasn't it, that we met, two lads.
Oh yeah, but we did the lad on the plane over, the young player, He was born in Wolverhampton. I think his father was over there for 6 or 8 years altogether. He was born there,
yeah.
And he came back. But the young fella now is working. He's down in Galway, and the father was lives in Stillaugan there. But it was nice meeting him and that, and you know, they met up with us in the taxi drivers club,
yeah.
And the gang that was there with Steo and all the rest. It's a grand club because it's great to go back after proper drink in the place. Nice, relax, the television on, you can watch the football matches, and it's a good place to unwind,
yeah,
when you have a bit of time, unwind, you know.
Yeah,
and it's great to talk to some of the Everton fans themselves and to get their hits on it, you know what I mean? And I don't care what anyone says, that's where you get all your information, talk to the real fans,
yeah,
who know what's going on in clubs and that. And you also get a fair indication of where your own club is, because from talking to them fans, what they think.
Yeah.
Of how things are, you know, and you know, that was good. And I suppose the other good thing that came out of the whole lot was the what happened after the match there with the players, you know. And I see it was hard to believe that within what two days of the video being clipped or the thing, there was nearly 500,000 views on it, you know.
Yeah,
and
that was the young lad.
Some of the comments from the likes of Chelsea and all other fans. Yeah. About to go, but it's very complimentary, you know, and that's I think our fans have got to look at that and see how we've come on and how we're judged by other clubs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
you listen to our fans, but Jesus, you think we're ragball Rovers and fellas having a clue.
Yeah,
you know, and then you see what other clubs are looking in and they're envious of about how things are going at Wolves, you know.
Yeah, that lad, that was the lad, was he 7-year-old lad that had cancer, wasn't it? That was.
At the
tunnel for our players going out. That's, and it was the video. It was very good. I mean, they gave him the jerseys and all. They all looked after him. Yeah, it was great to see.
Oh, well, that video, that clip was sent to me. It came from a Man United fan.
Yeah.
Sent it to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I got it. When someone sent it to me quick, and then it was another Man United fan then sent it over about an hour later. This is doing the rounds, mate. You know, but I just thought it cost nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, great for the kids, you know.
Ah, yeah, it's great. It's great. So, they seem to, like our players seem to be a great, great spirit, great camaraderie there amongst them. And they're really, I saw even after, I just saw a clip on the highlights, I think from the Watford game and the 8-0 one where the OG. And Cody, they were coming back celebrating. Cody seemed to be shouting something at him. He put the hands up, and it didn't look like he was patting him on the back anyway, you know. But he seems to be great for G'ing up the players, and of course he more than celebrated his goal as well on Sunday. So
rightly so. It was a fantastic header.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, the ball in was absolutely superb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that one. Fair juice to them, you know. I just hope they get their justice aids, and you know, it's Champions League is gone, but get to Europe. But that's so I'd like to get them in, you know.
And it's certainly like looking at others. I mean, you know, I only watched the highlights of West Ham and Villa, and like Villa looked like they probably should have been ahead in that game and maybe should have got something out of it. But so West Ham and Spurs are probably the two. We'd be hoping to finish ahead of, you know, at least.
Yeah, they picked their two up tonight anyway as well.
Ah, yeah. So, but there's plenty more games after that. But
Yeah.
So I suppose we come back Monday morning anyway, and early Monday morning we're getting all these early flights. That's good to get home after that. So come in Friday. We're over for Leeds. So how do you see what do you see the selection? Do you see the selection being similar to Thursday or Sunday for that game?
I know what I would like to see. Once it goes with the 5 minutes, forget about the three up front, because that's to me, that's where we play the best. And like, in that situation, fellas, you nearly have to have Pedence playing. It looks now Johnny has to start, because he gives you that on the right side, but not only, he gives you the physical aspect of it too.
Yeah.
You know, he's strong as a knox. Yeah. You know, he won't go down. So, look, Wang is not playing, so, well, he's injured. He's certainly going to have to go back to, and I think that's the best the best that we have to offer. And I think if we do that, we should beat Leeds, you know.
Yeah, and actually, you just remind me when you were saying about Huang being injured. I thought Trinquel did very well when he came on. And like Silva wasn't as long, but I mean, you know, but he got a couple of balls there, and he cut inside, and he could have easily. I think he was pulled down for one, but he definitely looked like he was able to prove a point. So he could very well be in. And I wonder with Johnny behind him, would he be a bit more solid, so that Trinquel would probably have a kind of a freer role there, that he'd have Johnny covering, you know. But and of course Kilman getting back into the team as well.
Yeah.
Last Sunday kind of gives us more another option.
I suppose everybody would have thought that he would have kept Bolly in there.
Yeah.
And a bit surprised though. Maybe Bolly's had a pick up. I thought we looked fantastic with Bolly there. But I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't complain about him bringing back in Kilman, because he's had a very good season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought putting two lads who have been suspect of pace.
Yeah.
Was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
And the opposition exploited that.
Yeah.
But you see, Johnny was in there and last Thursday, when Johnny was in there with Bolly behind him, we didn't have any problems. And you know, Johnny then was in front of Kilman.
Yeah.
And he gave Kilman some sort of protection. I know people say he got caught with that one with Richarlison, but in my opinion, Richarlison was offside. If that had gone the net, I think that would have been disallowed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's where I was. It looked like he was offside.
Yeah.
And but of course he didn't go to check it. We didn't have to, because you know
he didn't score.
I wouldn't say it'd be much. And you were asking, you were talking about. I thought when Tinkerman the Silva, he picked it up, and he certainly worked hard.
Yeah.
And he wasn't leaving them, and that's all you can ask for. Trinquel, you said, Tony. Yeah. And I just only this time last year, how many people were absolutely slaughtered in Semedo?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Got to give these fellas, you know, a couple of months. And I think Kel was the very same. I think he has so much there, and that's to come out. And it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And
hopefully.
I think it'll be a great addition. I don't go with these slaughtering somebody, you know, for the first couple of months, because it's a big change for some of them.
Yeah. So, anyway, hopefully on Friday we'll get another 3 points to keep us on track, and hopefully we'll be sit down for the rest of the weekend and see what everyone else does. But, yeah, Mick, so, anyway, you're over early on Friday. I'm a bit later. So, we've a good crowd over, so we'll have loads to talk about, hopefully, on to celebrate next week when we're having the chat. All right. Listen, take care, and I'll see you on the Friday.
Okay, Tony.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.